Support for GLT's Grow comes from Chris Holderly at Advantage Lawn and Landscape, offering customized services for commercial and residential landscaping and property design, including staging for long-term growth during all seasons. Proud to serve Central Illinois. Details at growingadvantage.com. This is 89.1 GLT and WGLT.org.
Giving a houseplant as a gift raises a number of questions, such as what kind of plant to give? Is the person receiving it even capable of caring for the plant? Illinois State University's Patrick Murphy has answers to those and other questions from GLT's Mike McCurdy in this episode of our gardening podcast, Grow.
It's the giving season, but plants are often gifted all year to commemorate a birth, a death, a new house, or a new job. So what makes a good houseplant, and what should you consider? I'm Mike McCurdy. This is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert, Patrick Murphy, from Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences and curator of the Fell Arboretum. How are you doing, Murph?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing really great. So before we decide to give a plant, do we need to think about the person receiving that plant, whether they have a brown thumb or a green thumb?
I think we do, you know, and sometimes that gets overlooked in the rush of what kind of plant to get, but hopefully our discussion will help.
And sometimes cut flowers are best. So again, this would be a decision driven by who's receiving the plant or the flowers.
That's right, because out of all the plant gifts that one could give, I would say cut flowers are the easiest to maintain. You can get a week or maybe 10 days out of them just by changing the water and using the little packet that they give you when you buy the flowers.
What's in the packet?
It's like liquid fertilizer.
And then, so what are some things we need to check off when it comes to deciding what kind of plant to give a particular person?
Well, we need to keep in mind, what are they going to do with it? Are they going to be able to take it home? Are they in a position to take care of it at all? You know, and a lot of the plants, they have a range of maintenance or attention that they require, some more than others.
Most of them, though, since they're going to be in the house, are fairly low maintenance. Is that accurate?
That is accurate in spirit. That's right.
In spirit. All right. So let's talk about some specific types of plants. What are the kinds of plants that we're likely to see on the shelf when it comes time to buy one to give as a gift?
I'm a big fan of the art and craft of bonsai, so we're going to start with that. And good news is that there are a lot of them available for sale during the Christmas holidays. And they come back again around Mother's Day when that kind of stuff is popular. But they're the most maintenance intensive. They require the most amount of attention.
And is that the pruning of this plant to make it look like a tiny tree?
Well, that is a small part of actually having the bonsai. It's what you should know is that the bonsai are trained to grow in a dwarf fashion by living on a restricted root, with restricted root growth and root development. So a lot of times you see the bonsai as this oversized plant, or what appears to be oversized, in a very small pot. And a lot of the ones that are retail sales items, they are the most common that people associate with bonsai. So there's some kind of conifer, like a pine or a juniper or a cypress, which are outdoor plants. That's the problem. So they've glued the gravel on them. They're the little decoration, the moss and stuff, is all glued to the top of the pot. That's to prevent it from coming loose during shipping and handling. And when you water a bonsai pot, you should submerge it in water rather than pour the water in from the top. So see, we're already getting into a long list of stuff that's right out of the owner's manual, and that's the hardest stuff to do for a lot of people.
I always thought orchids were fickle and sort of touchy.
They are. They are. And my wife and I received an orchid as a gift, and I have repotted it in the same pot that it came in, but it is suffering. It has been hard to keep it because they don't like the dry air that comes from the heating of the home. No matter where I put the thing, the leaves start to yellow, and they like to go dry between waterings, you know, so they're very particular in that regard.
You have a window in the bathroom?
We have a east-facing window,
but we don't
have any bathroom windows.
Okay, I was going to say, that might give it the humidity it needs.
Right, right. Another way, Mike, to get the humidity is to have a tray full of pebbles, and then you put water in there, and then the pot's set on top of the pebbles. And then when the water evaporates, it gives those plants in close proximity some extra humidity.
So on the flip side, well, it likes to go dry between waterings as well. Then you have plants that need very little water, like cactus.
The cacti and the succulents, they're kind of next to each other on the list. They require less water, of course, and lots of light. And Christmas cactus are the easiest ones to take care of. I've seen Christmas cactus live in the nursery liner for years. And the succulents are things like agave and sedums and jade. They like a little more light, and you want to let those dry between waterings. And they're actually fairly easy to manage. You don't have to go out and find special soil for them necessarily. Cacti, orchids, and the bonsai, you sometimes have to have special soil. You just can't use what you've got left over.
Needs lots of drainage.
And it needs a coarse, the orchids like a coarser type of soil mix.
So with the succulents, what I found through trial and error, and it's ridiculous because I should have figured it out a long time ago, is I was just watering them too much. The more I leave the succulents alone that I have, the better they do.
Yeah, I've had that experience where we gave my mother-in-law, Mary Ann, we gave her a fiddly fig, Ficus lyrata. And in appreciation for receiving the gift, it was adopted into the house with lots of love and everything and a little too much water. And it started showing it right away on your tropical houseplants, which we're going to talk more about. When you see browning and blackening on the foliage, you got too much water.
And that was my problem. I thought, oh, well, it needs more water, right? It's having an issue. And actually, I was overwatering them. We bring our succulents in from outside. They spend spring and summer and most of fall outside. We bring them in for the winter, put them in east-facing windows, and I water them in February. I mean,
right. That's
it, right? I water them once over the winter.
Right, and they're really popular in interior decor now. The low troughs that are sometimes oversized, kind of a low flat centerpiece that you can see over the top of so you can speak with and serve your guests.
So tropicals?
Tropicals, they require varying levels of attention. And most do not like the dry air from the heating, just like the other plants. Some tough proven performers are things like Sansevieria, a common name known as the mother-in-law's tongue, poinsettias. They're very popular during the Christmas holiday, as they should be. They both like to dry between waterings. And one thing about the poinsettias and a lot of gift plants, they come with the foil, you know, and the foil kind of keeps the water from leaking out onto the carpet or whatever. But it's not necessarily a positive for keeping the plant long term. You want to kind of start thinking about repotting the tropical plants that you receive as a gift after you've had them for, say, a couple weeks up to a month.
And since we're talking about poinsettias, I guess we should talk about dogs, cats, other pets, children, and plants, and whether some of these plants are safe to be around animals and kids.
Yeah, there's some of the obvious hazards with things like cacti, right? They got the dog's little nose or the cat's little nose can get the quills in them really easy, and then you got to pluck them out with the nose hair tweezers.
Or little Jimmy's thumb.
Little Jimmy's thumb. Hey, I said don't touch that. And then, yeah, right. And there is a milky sap that you can see if you break a leaf off of poinsettia. It's toxic to everybody, but particularly the pets.
So when receiving the plant, should the recipient assume it's good to go for a while, or should they inspect it in some way, for instance, making sure it doesn't need to be repotted right away?
Yeah, a lot of these plants, when you receive them as a gift, are in a nursery liner type of pot with a very light soil mix. And this is intentional to reduce the weight for freight and handling. And it also is conducive to getting vigorous new growth during production. And sometimes there are more roots than soil in the pots. And the short soil productivity life is a result of that. So a lot of times you can repot right back into the same pot just by adding some newer soil or some more improved soil.
And a tree is kind of a big deal. You could gift a tree. I think it's a great idea, but you really need to talk to the person who's receiving this tree.
Yeah, and I don't think now is the season, but I wanted to include that because we're all big tree lovers here at Illinois State University and the Fell Arboretum. But it is a long-lasting gift.
Decades.
And, that's right, and it's a generational type gift.
If you have any questions about houseplants or anything in nature or gardening, submit them at wglt.org/grow. Next week, we'll talk about the frozen ground, something I didn't think we had to even consider, Patrick.
It's important here in the Midwest.
That's Patrick Murphy. I'm Mike McCurdy. Send your gardening questions to wglt.org/grow.